Mr. President, have you spoken with former President Trump at all?
Are you kidding me? Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
There's an idea. Donald Trump helping these people? Don't hold your breath.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's not what he's there for.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. Oh. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe for you every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman. Your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow says me, if not you, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Desi Doyen, hello.
Hi.
If there is one thing, Desiree, that I have learned over my years as a broadcaster at this point, actually, this lesson goes back to Hurricane Katrina. When you and I were on the air from the middle of a cow pasture.
Yes.
Back in 2005, a cow pasture near George W. Bush's pretend ranch down in Crawford, Texas. We were at the time sort of broadcasting around the clock in 110-degree heat, as I remember it.
Oh, yes.
Covering Gold Star mom Cindy Sheehan's attempt to meet with George W. Bush at the time so she could ask him what was the noble cause for which her son had been killed in Iraq. He wouldn't meet with her. Thousands showed up to a camp there to support her for several weeks. But on the second, and he never did meet with her, by the way, but on the second to last day there, Hurricane Katrina was about to crash into New Orleans. And someone sent me, I think you remember this, Des.
Oh, yeah.
The National Weather Service's bulletin that day, warning about Katrina.
Which was really alarming.
It was so dire that I thought it had to have been fake. So I actually did not read it on air until I had the chance to confirm that it was authentic during a break. But it talked about the possibility that, you know, all life would be wiped out, that New Orleans would be likely uninhabitable for days, weeks, months, perhaps longer. And then Katrina came ashore that night, and, well, it wasn't as bad as all of that by morning, and I mentioned on air that, well, it looked like New Orleans had dodged a bullet with that storm. Remember
right.
that?
Oh, yes.
Only then for the levees to start giving way hours later. And, well, you know the rest of the story about Katrina, about 1,400 fatalities down there, hundreds of billions of dollars in damage, etc. So I am very careful not to label, anywhere as having dodged a bullet in the immediate hours after a hurricane. That seems only responsible to me. That said, thanks to a last-minute wobble of Hurricane Milton, it appears, can I say this, that the worst-case scenario feared for Tampa and Tampa Bay has not come to pass.
You can definitely say that. The worst-case scenario did not happen, thank goodness.
And hopefully it still will not. Let's hope that's still true throughout Florida over the coming days of recovery. But the damage from the second monster hurricane to slam into Florida in as many weeks appears to have been very bad nonetheless. In the hours since the storm. As we go to air today, according to the Miami Herald, more than 3 million people are without power statewide. Oh, the other thing that I learned when covering disasters like this, more than 3 million people are not without power statewide in Florida. 3 million customers are without power, Miami Herald. That means 3 million homes and businesses. So if you assume there are at least two people living in each home. Actually, I looked it up. There's 2.63 people per household.
But for ease of
in
math.
Florida. For ease of math, and since many may have evacuated, etc., it's actually more than 6 million people are without power. That seems a notable distinction that, you know, even NPR was saying the same thing. More than 3 million people. No, more than 6 million people. Anyway, back to the Herald. Roofs are ripped off from coast to coast on those houses and buildings, according to the Herald, including one over the Tropicana Field baseball stadium in St. Petersburg, which had been set up as an emergency shelter for first responders, etc., with thousands of cots that had to go unused, apparently, after the roof of the stadium was blown away. Parts of Sarasota, Fort Myers, and other Gulf Coast communities are underwater, flooded by up to 6 feet of storm surge as we go to air. Homes and buildings exploded from a record-setting string of tornadoes across the state, including one that leveled a large iron St. Lucie Sheriff's Department facility. The death toll was at least 10 by noon on Thursday and could still climb. Hurricane Milton cut a scar of damage across central Florida, making landfall on Siesta Key just before 8:30 p.m. Wednesday evening, several hours earlier than had been predicted. It arrived as a Category 3 storm with 120-mile-per-hour winds, flooded inland communities near Orlando, knocked out power for hundreds of thousands there. It finally pulled away from the other side of the state on Thursday morning, just north of Cape Canaveral, leaving storm surge and more flooding in its wake. Tampa Bay and much of the Gulf Coast faced sustained winds and gusts that topped 100 miles per hour. Communities south of the landfall also saw potentially double-digit storm surge, including Fort Myers Beach. Most barrier islands, where storm surge levels will likely be the highest, remained locked off and inaccessible still, even to residents, by Thursday afternoon. In Charlotte County, south of Sarasota, high water marks as high as 5 feet were visible on doors near the coast. Fort Myers marked 5.25 feet of inundation on its tide gauge. Inland flooding was also an issue. The bulk of Milton's rain, up to 18 inches in St. Petersburg and around 11 inches to the east of Orlando, fell north of the eye's path, drenching the already soaked central Florida area, soaked already by Hurricane Helene just 2 weeks earlier. The rain swelled rivers and canals by several feet, flooding streets and low-lying neighborhoods. Even before Milton made landfall, the National Weather Service was issuing tornado warnings, about 100 of them in a six-hour span across parts of the state.
Yeah, an astonishing number. Very surprising.
Tornadoes ravaged the southern end. It was far from the core of the storm. This was down in the southern end of the state where most of these were, touching down in Fort Myers, Fort Pierce, Palm Beach Gardens, St. Lucie County, as far south as Broward County, ripping off roofs and razing buildings. The Herald notes it will take days to fully survey the damage and total up the losses, but they report even before dawn it was clear that Milton left a multi-billion dollar mess in its wake. The full toll of Milton's lethal surge will not be clear for days, but it does appear, they say, that the worst-case scenario of a two-story building-level storm surge in the densely populated Tampa Bay area, at least, was avoided. Along much of the Gulf Coast, cleanup had already begun. As noted, for the second time in as many weeks due to the second hurricane in as many weeks. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis at a press briefing early on Thursday said that he talked to President Joe Biden this morning and that he has been helpful. Quote, he wants to help us get the job done, he said. I appreciate being able to collaborate across the federal, state, and local governments and work together to put the people first, said the governor. Federal officials had pre-placed a hefty amount of resources in Florida ahead of Milton's landfall, says the Herald. More than 2,000 search and rescue vehicles, around 20 million meal packets, 40 million liters of water had already been sent to the state. FEMA also says that 60 high water vehicles and helicopters, 500 ambulances had been deployed. Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, and FEMA is housed as a part of DHS, detailed progress for recovery from both hurricanes, Milton and Helene, in a White House briefing on Thursday. He was on video, I guess. From North Carolina.
Yeah, that's where he is following up on the recovery there.
Which has taken some of the worst damage from last week's Hurricane Helene.
Every available resource is being deployed as fast as possible to impacted communities, and we will not leave until the work is done. The same is true for communities devastated by Hurricane Helene, including here in North Carolina. And we will continue to support impacted communities and first responders on the ground. More than 10,000 federal staff are on the ground supporting Helene and Milton response efforts across the Southeast. Since Helene first made landfall, urban search and rescue teams have rescued over 4,300 people. We have delivered more than 17.2 million meals and more than 13.9 million liters of water. These first responders and their state and local partners are doing truly heroic work in extremely difficult circumstances. We are all immensely grateful for their extraordinary selfless service.
Now, that was Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, on Thursday. Now, more on the federal response and the response to the federal response in a moment. But, Desi Doyen, it would be irresponsible of us, of course, to cover either of these two ongoing storms and their recovery without also covering their connection to climate change.
Yes, and of course we have some trends that we are obviously seeing here, and these trends are all going in one direction, and they are all not good. Hurricane Milton is the latest in a trend in the Gulf of Mexico specifically of storms more frequently reaching Category 3 or higher since 2010. Milton is now the 10th major hurricane with an intensity of Category 3 or higher to make landfall along the Gulf Coast just since 2017, the 10th. That is a trend. They say that trend does not appear, however, to be generating more hurricanes in number. It just means that of the storms that do form, they are more frequently intensifying to a major status of Category 3, 4, or 5, and that is because of record warm oceans caused by man-made climate change, which, as we know, is driven by the burning of fossil fuels.
I hope Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, is listening, because he just had no idea. Something is changing, he said, after Helene, But he didn't know what. So
it's not just the trend of storms getting to major status of 3, 4, or 5. It's also, of course, the rapid intensification. We have been talking about that a lot. A new analysis by nonprofit data firm Climate Central this week found that man-made climate change directly caused the record warm sea surface temperatures in the Gulf, which in turn directly contributed to the rapid intensification of Hurricane Milton and of Helene. And those record warm temperatures, they found, were made 400 to 800 times more likely due to climate change. And also World Weather Attribution. Those are the scientists, international scientists, who conduct rapid studies to determine the fingerprint of climate change on these events. They said today, quote, we found that essentially all aspects of this event are amplified by climate change to different degrees. We'll see more of the same as the world continues to warm.
Now, more on that, of course, in our latest Green News report later this hour.
Yes.
But you know, we've been talking for the past week or two at this point about the lies that Donald Trump and his supporters on social media have been telling, not just about climate change, of course, they've been lying about that for years, but also about FEMA and the response by the federal government. Claiming as Trump has that they're nowhere to be found, or that they were confiscating people's property if people actually registered with FEMA, which when we first talked about a week ago, I mentioned how dangerous this was on several levels. Among them, you don't want somebody seeing a FEMA person walking up to their house trying to help them, and Lord knows what they might do to them, but also the fact that it would frighten people from asking FEMA for much needed help, even if they needed that help, under the premise that their property would be confiscated if they registered with FEMA. A caller on Dan Abrams'
SiriusXM
show,
yes.
Was this today or recently?
This was recent. I'm not sure exactly if it was yesterday or the day before.
Talked about his father-in-law and who's in North Carolina, which was
Asheville.
among the worst areas hit from Hurricane Helene, and talked about exactly that.
My father-in-law lives just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and he was badly damaged by Hurricane Helene. And he has refused all FEMA help because he's a hardcore Trumper. And he literally believes that if he accepts anything from FEMA, they're going to take his house. I don't understand how so many people are under the spell of this freaking con man. I don't understand it.
Well, it's absolutely heartbreaking about your father-in-law. I'm so sorry to hear it.
It's hard to even imagine it. I mean, he lost almost everything, and he's refusing all help from the federal government and complaining to us that he doesn't have food, that he doesn't have the stuff he needs, and yet he won't accept the help. What the hell are we supposed to do? We're not in a position to be able to fly across the country and help him.
Just heartbreaking.
It really is. And obviously that guy is not alone. And obviously Donald Trump is not the only one making these claims that are putting people in danger. So, you know, with absentee vote by mail, I believe, already underway in parts of Florida, as I understand it, I thought it might be a public service today to sort of name some of the Florida members of Congress who are not only out there lying about FEMA, but who had actually hoped that there would not be enough funding for the Federal Emergency Management Agency to properly respond to life and death threats like both Hurricane Helene, which struck just 2 weeks ago, and Hurricane Milton, which struck overnight, and whatever additional storms may affect the Sunshine State before this year's storm season is over. And by the way, the storm season continues through the end of November.
Yes.
As Rolling Stone detailed, just before Milton came ashore, when Congress was debating a short-term government funding resolution just last month, Democrats pushed for the bill to include billions in additional disaster relief funding. But a cohort of far-right Republicans in the House favored a stripped-down resolution that did not include the extra disaster relief money. Those right-wingers, which included a whole bunch of members of Congress from Florida, well, they ultimately got their way. The ultimately approved measure, however, did at least extend the current FEMA funding levels through the end of this year. It just did not infuse FEMA with any additional funding, despite the fact that FEMA is already operating at a deficit thanks to previous refusals by Republicans to allocate more funding to that agency that they are now complaining about. All of this as we are in the very heart of hurricane season. As Florida's Democratic Congresswoman Kathy Castor told Politico after the stopgap bill had passed, quote, "The right-wingers here, the MAGA crowd, even after disasters happen, they have opposed disaster aid for communities in need." That's something that I really hope Florida voters will keep in mind when they vote this year. But also, as they read these statements and these tweets from these very same Republicans who are now pretending to be outraged about FEMA not doing enough, or as Trump is falsely claiming that they've run out of money, that they haven't, that they're not there, and that that's because they've spent all of their money on undocumented immigrants, which, by the way, is also untrue. But even with the concessions, even after dropping the extra funding for FEMA to handle disasters amid the hurricane season, even after that, nearly 100 Republicans in both the House and Senate voted against the resolution that ultimately passed and against the $20 billion funding base that it allocated to FEMA, even as Hurricane Helene at the time was bearing down on Florida and ultimately devastated both Florida and five other southeastern states. Many of those Republicans who voted against continuing even the base funding for FEMA represent Florida, which is only now beginning recovery from Hurricane Milton. So the Florida Congress members who voted against even that much, even just continuing the regular funding for FEMA,
the money that had already been appropriated to the agency.
The Florida members, Congress members who voted against even that, and I'm really hoping Florida voters pay attention, include Representatives Aaron Bean, Gus Bilirakis, Kat Kamak, Byron Donalds, Matt Gaetz, Laura Lee, Anna Paulina Luna, Corey Mills, Bill Posey, Mike Waltz, and Daniel Webster. They all voted against the bill in the House, which, by the way, had it not passed, thanks to help from Democrats, it would have shut down the federal government entirely just days before Helene came ashore. Adding to the, and since this is Florida, adding to the chutzpah of these people, some of the Republicans who voted against funding FEMA are now demanding more money for FEMA. Quote, cut the crap. We need FEMA dollars freed up, said Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna on Twitter in all caps on Monday. On Tuesday, she introduced legislation to allocate $10 billion for FEMA disaster relief specifically for Florida. She represents Clearwater and St. Petersburg on Florida's Gulf Coast, which were both significantly impacted by Milton. Following Hurricane Helene, Luna said in a statement that her, quote, constituents in Pinellas County depend on Congress to take swift and decisive action in the wake of the unprecedented disaster caused by Hurricane Helene, adding, I am ready and willing to return to Washington and ensure our communities receive the critical resources necessary for a rapid recovery. But cool, because Luna, less than a week earlier, was already in Washington and had already voted against those critical resources that she is now demanding. Matt Gaetz, whose district was directly slammed by Helene and Hurricane Beryl, I think it was, just over a month earlier, also voted against funding FEMA, but had the temerity to take to Twitter to claim, quote, FEMA is absolutely botching hurricane relief efforts. For the record, the governors of all six of the states affected by Helene, five of whom are Republican, have all said that the federal government response to that storm has been excellent. And you heard DeSantis, I already mentioned, has already said similar about the federal government response to Milton. But Matt Gaetz has also been pushing the same lie that Trump has been pushing, that FEMA misused disaster relief funds on undocumented migrants. Here's Trump making those claims after Helene, interspersed with the comments from several of those Republican governors from, I think it's Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia, and the Republican U.S. Senator from North Carolina, happening at the exact same time.
This is the worst response to a storm or a catastrophe or a hurricane that we've ever seen, ever.
As of today, what has been the ongoing kind of federal assistance for South Carolina?
It's
what has
been, it's been superb. They haven't seen anybody from the federal government yet. The federal government isn't there.
I'm incredibly appreciative of the rapid response and the cooperation from the federal team at FEMA.
I've lived in North Carolina for almost 30 years. I've seen a lot of storms come through this state. I'm actually impressed with how much attention was paid to a region that wasn't likely to have experienced the impact that they did.
The White House is doing nothing. They've abandoned us.
So I just spoke. The president just called me yesterday afternoon. I missed him and called him right back. And he just said, hey, what do you need? And I told him, you know, we got what we need. We'll work through the federal process. He offered that if there's other things we need, just to call him directly, which I appreciate that.
In addition to Matt Gaetz echoing many of Trump's false claims, so did another Florida Republican who voted against even that stopgap bill to fund FEMA that was passed last month. Kat Kamick, who represents Florida's 3rd congressional district, which was slammed by both Helene and Milton up around Gainesville. She tweeted, quote, "I started ringing the alarm on FEMA using money for illegals instead of Americans years ago." Now, some of FEMA's operating budget does, in fact, go to undocumented migrants. It's congressionally appropriated to do so. It's the budget mandated, appropriated by Congress, mandates as much.
Yeah. In other words, they have to do it by law.
But it is a completely separate stream of also congressionally appropriated funding for disaster relief. In other words, Congress, not Joe Biden, essentially determine how much money goes to disaster relief and how much goes to other mandates for the agency. They are totally separate budgets. That said, while Joe Biden did not, in fact, steal money from disaster relief to go to migrants, as Trump and others have been lying, Donald Trump actually did steal money from FEMA's disaster relief budget to use it at the border as part of his failed attempt to build a wall across the entire southern border. In any event, all 11 Florida House Republicans who voted against keeping the government and FEMA funded just last month, they all, by the way, days later, signed on to a bipartisan letter addressed to Joe Biden calling for direct federal assistance to the state of Florida in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has drawn praise from local lawmakers of both parties who are not hypocritical MAGA grifters for the federal government's response to the devastation across the southeast. FEMA said that as of Sunday, it has provided more than $137 million in aid to 6 states and that it has enough money for the current immediate disaster relief, barring any surprises over the rest of the storm season, though it may have to reallocate long-term recovery funding unless Congress allocates more funding. And I'm sure these very same Republicans will be opposing that. Joe Biden sent a letter to congressional leaders last week noting how FEMA and the other government agencies are, quote, performing critical life-saving and life-sustaining missions and will continue to do so within present funding levels, and that he, quote, fully expects that the Congress will do its part to provide the funding needed. When House Speaker Mike Johnson was asked about that letter by Fox News on Sunday and whether he will call Congress back for an emergency session to allocate more funding, Johnson effectively shrugged, saying it's going to take some time to figure out the cost of the damage. Quote, "We'll be back in session immediately after the election," he said. Okay, let's just hope there are not too many more hurricanes before then. Take a quick break here as the pre-election grifting continues. On the broadcast after a quick break, I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that soggy dial.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to hear that. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. There is a reason I'm playing it. You'll figure it out in a minute. I've been trying to get to this story for the past week, but I've had to keep kicking it down the road. Thanks to, I don't know, one disaster or another. But in one sense, actually, I'm glad that I waited, because we keep getting new chapters in it seemingly every other day. So you may have heard some of this already, even if there are likely some details you have not heard, including several, points in the latest chapter as it came while Hurricane Milton was coming ashore and likely got buried by that coverage on Wednesday. But you may have heard the story about Ryan Walters, Oklahoma's superintendent of public education. He is a far-right MAGA guy, even by Oklahoma standards, who, after the state of Oklahoma adopted what is likely an unconstitutional mandate, or would have been in previous eras, an unconstitutional mandate for teaching Christian scripture in public schools, Ryan Walters issued a request for proposal, an RFP, that went out on Monday, September 30, looking to award a contract, a huge contract, for, quote, the purchase of 55,000 King James Version Bibles with the United States Pledge of Allegiance, the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Bill of Rights, documents included, unquote. It also included some other very specific requirements. For example, quote, the supplier's Bible must be bound in leather or leather-like material for durability, etc. So the upshot is that the specific, very unusual combination of requirements resulted in, two different Bibles that might meet that unusual combination of documents all in one book. One of the Bibles with those U.S. documents in them that might meet that RFP is one that is endorsed by Donald Trump, and the other is endorsed by Donald Trump Jr., according to the Oklahoman newspaper. In short, as our friend Chris Geidner over at Law Dork noted, this could be a combination of religious indoctrination in public schools and good old-fashioned graft. The RFP, it turns out, closes on October 14, which is a very fast 2-week turnaround to respond to this. That would be enough on its own, writes Geidner, until he saw a letter from Oklahoma's Attorney General, Gentner Drummond, not sure how to pronounce that. But Drummond, he's also a Republican, and he's a very conservative one at that, but he apparently, according to Geidner, is one who's willing to break ranks occasionally with his fellow Republicans. On October 2, just after Walters had issued his RFP concerning those Bibles, Drummond responded to a separate request from Walters about the purchase of inhalers for Oklahoma's school children. In the letter, Drummond all but accuses Walters of dragging his feet on that request to make inhalers available to children in Oklahoma schools, as was also mandated by the state more than a year ago. But as the Attorney General's letter makes clear, the man who is rushing to purchase Bibles for schools across Oklahoma has taken well over a year and with still no resolution to get emergency inhalers put into schools after funding was made available for them. The effort in the state has expanded in recent years after a child in the state actually died at school when he had an asthma attack and there was no access to an inhaler. As the letter details, $250,000 in funding for the emergency inhalers became available on July 1, 2023, more than a year ago. Walter's department, however, quote, this is according to Drummond's letter, quote, did not issue a request for information, an RFI, to even examine potential suppliers of the inhalers until February 9 of 2024, more than 7 months after the funding was appropriated and available, unquote. That was not, Drummond noted, an RFP that could even result in a contract being awarded. It was just an initial request for information from suppliers. What's more, Drummond added that Walters has basically given up, writing, quote, it appears that you have elected to require school districts to directly purchase inhalers themselves and then be refunded rather than procuring inhalers directly. Regardless of the method, Drummond concluded, speed is of the essence. Waiting more than a year to ask for guidance, changing procurement methods multiple times, and now requiring school districts to individually procure emergency inhalers is neither speedy nor responsible. Candidly, he wrote, failing to implement legislative directives and installing roadblocks to potentially life-saving medicines at the expense of kids reflects a lack of understanding of basic purchasing procedures at a minimum and perhaps a disingenuous unwillingness to act. That's the Republican AG, Republican state AG in Oklahoma, talking to Oklahoma's Republican school superintendent, the chief of public schools, excoriating him for dragging his feet for more than a year to save children's lives. And as Geithner notes, it's even more maddening in comparison to how quickly Walters issued an RFP for Bibles that could largely be supplied only by either Donald Trump himself or Donald Trump Jr. On October 14, the RFP for the Bible will close, so that's a two-week window since he put out the notice for the RFP. So you may have heard about the Bible nonsense from this guy, but not the other part of the story that Chris Geithner stitched together that makes it even more maddening. He's in a huge rush for the Bibles, but for the to help the kids at the schools that he's supposed to be overseeing, well,
yeah, no rush
no
to
rush
save
at all.
Children's lives. My God.
So it's not just, you know, grift. It's an appalling lack of care for the people that he is supposed to be overseeing, school children. Now, I don't know where the asthma inhaler story has gone since, but after the news about Walters and his RFP that could only be fulfilled for those Bibles by Donald Trump's personally endorsed Bibles, that would include the Pledge of Allegiance and the U.S. Constitution, etc., as Donald Trump recently endorsed and released with country singer Lee Greenwood, largely known for his God Bless the USA song that we tortured you with at the top of this segment. that Bible, by the way, that costs $59.99 a piece for that Bible. After the news about all of that went public, as AP reported on Tuesday, the Oklahoma school superintendent, Ryan Walters, has amended the state's RFP. The request for 55,000 Bibles to be placed in public schools that initially matched a version of the Holy Book endorsed by former President Donald Trump. So I guess you can shame these guys, at least somewhat. The request was amended on Monday. It no longer requires that the Bibles include U.S. historical documents like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Requirements that match the God Bless the USA Bible that Donald Trump endorsed this year and that are several times more expensive than similar Bibles that do not include the U.S. documents. The new request says the historical documents may be included either together or separately from the Bible. And by the way, it extends the deadline for offers to supply the items by 1 week from October 14 to October 21. So now there's 3 weeks to answer to that RFP.
I'm sure they'll be able to find a few Bibles that will fit.
In a Monday video on Twitter, Walter said the Bible will be used, quote, because of its historical significance throughout this nation's history, blaming what he called the, quote, fake news media for lies about the program. Quote, the left-wing media hates Donald Trump so much, and they hate the Bible so much, they will lie and go to any means necessary to stop this initiative from happening, said Walters. The school superintendent of Oklahoma says the left-wing media hates Donald Trump and hates the Bible. Well, if it's fake news, Ryan, why did you change the RFP? For the record, AP notes that similar Bibles that do not include the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution are available online for less than $20, as opposed to that $59.99 version from Donald Trump. But yesterday, AP had yet another amusing follow-up that I think is worth noting in this story about not just the sleazy school superintendent in Oklahoma, but about the greatest con man the world has ever known who may just become the next president of the United States again next year. Sorry to mention that, but if you don't like the idea, hey, get out and vote. Or stay home and pray on it, though I do recommend the former. That might be more effective. Anyway, as AP notes, thousands of copies of Donald Trump's God Bless the USA Bible were printed in a country that the former president has repeatedly accused of stealing American jobs and engaging in unfair trade practices. That country would be China. Yep, global trade records reviewed by the AP show a printing company in China's eastern city of Hangzhou shipped close to 120,000 of the Bibles to the U.S. between early February and late March. The estimated value of the three separate shipments was $342,000, or less than $3 per Bible, according to customs databases. The minimum price for the Trump-backed Bible is $59.99, putting the potential sales revenue at about $7 million. The Trump Bible's connection to China, which has not previously been reported, reveals a deep divide between the former president's harsh anti-China rhetoric and his rush to cash in while campaigning. And AP has the receipts here. For example, the largest and most recent load of 70,000 copies of the Bible arrived by container vessel at the port of Los Angeles on March 28, 2 days after Trump announced in a video posted on his failing Truth Social platform that he partnered with country singer Lee Greenwood to hawk those Bibles. Quote, the Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back in America and to make America great again is our religion, Trump said. He didn't say where the God Bless the USA Bibles were printed.
Of course he didn't.
Or he also didn't say what they cost, though that's available at the website, where a copy that is hand-signed by the former president sells for $1,000. That's right. You can have a $3 Bible for the low, low price of $1,000 as signed by the disgraced former president, who to this day, I don't believe anyone has ever seen inside a church. But other than that, he's very concerned about bringing back religion. A version of the $59.99 Bible also memorializes the July 13 assassination attempt on the former president, with his name on the cover above the phrase, "The Day God Intervened." That wording appears to have been stamped onto the Bibles after it was produced. I should note that the scheme does not go to fund Donald Trump's campaign. As many people might think, oh, I'm supporting his campaign. No, you're not. You're actually supporting him. You're putting money in his pocket if you buy this crap. Noted somewhere on the website, AP reports, Trump's name and image are used under a paid license from CIC Ventures, which is a company that Trump has reported owning in his most recent financial disclosure. For years, Trump has castigated Beijing as an obstacle to America's economic success, slapping hefty tariffs on Chinese imports while he was president and threatening even more stringent measures if he is elected again. But Pitching Bibles is just one of a dizzying number of for-profit ventures that he has launched or promoted in recent weeks and months, notes AP, including sneakers, photo books, cryptocurrency, cheap silver coins, digital trading cards, and diamond-encrusted watches that we previously reported that experts also believe to be made in China. Despite Donald Trump's promotional video for those, describing them as Swiss-made. And by the way, those sell for $100,000 a piece. Would you like to buy one, Vlad? It's a great way to say thanks for those secret COVID tests that Trump sent to you at the height of the pandemic when Americans were literally dying for them. As president, AP notes, Trump would be in a position to influence policies and markets to benefit businesses in which he and his family have financial stakes. While president, his administration actually exempted Bibles and other religious texts from tariffs that were imposed on billions of dollars of Chinese goods. AP notes that Oklahoma's Department of Education did not answer AP's questions about whether the 50,000 Bibles that they are seeking must be printed in the United States. Apparently, that was not included on the RFP.
Well, of course not, because otherwise, how else would the Oklahoma superintendent, who's super MAGA, how else is he going to put taxpayer money into Trump's pockets?
AP notes that China is, and who knew, China is one of the world's leading producers of Bibles, so it is not unusual for the Trump-endorsed version to be printed there. All the books were shipped by a company named New Aid Cultural Media, a printing company in Hangzhou that describes itself as a custom Bible book manufacturer. A sales rep for New Aid told AP that she had received the order for all of these books via the WhatsApp messaging service, and that the books were printed on presses near the company's Hangzhou office. Quote, they didn't come to meet us, she said by phone. We just do the production. So they texted over the order. Hey, could you please print these out? What they got back apparently was crap, though you can buy them for $59.99 or a hand-signed version for $1,000. Because the crap they got back, according to Tim Wildsmith, who is a Baptist minister who reviews Bibles on his YouTube channel, said that he quickly noticed the signs of a cheaply made book when his God Bless the USA Bible arrived in plastic inside a padded mailer. He said it had a faux leather cover and that the words were actually jammed together on the pages, making it hard to read.
Oh, dear.
Sure, but if you jam the words together, it's fewer pages, and that's going to cost less money, right? He also found sticky pages that ripped apart when they were pulled apart, and he also noted there was no copyright page or information about who printed the Bible or where. Quote, I was shocked by how poor the quality of it was, Wildsmith said. It says to me that it's more about the love of money than it is the love of our country.
Bingo.
So I'm not a praying man. And by the way, I'm also Jewish, but Jesus Christ, please help Americans vote the right way this year. Green News Report is next on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. Please consider supporting whichever progressive media outlet is supporting you and the things that you care about. Most, just like us, do not receive corporate or political support. We all need your support to counter the powerful corporate media echo chamber. Right now, as much as ever. If you choose to support us, you can do it really easily, safely, and quickly via bradblog.com/donate. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you. Well,
I don't know, Des, will you have enough material to fill today's Green News Report, 6 minutes worth?
Sadly, yes.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, we'll find out in our latest Green News Report.
Well, the center of what is a very large Category 3 major hurricane has made landfall in the Sarasota area.
Hurricane Milton pummels Florida.
They're deliberately trying to create distrust.
FEMA grapples with Republican disinformation and funding shortages from back-to-back climate change-fueled disasters. Plus, Biden EPA issues landmark rule to replace every lead water pipe in America.
So there's that. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous. It's so stupid. It's got to stop.
Good luck with that, Mr. President. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, I never look at your scripts beforehand, but I have a feeling we're going to be starting with Milton today.
Yes, we are. Massive, powerful Hurricane Milton made landfall Wednesday night as a dangerous Category 3 storm in Siesta Key on Florida's densely populated west coast, just south of Tampa Bay, triggering widespread impacts across the state, extreme storm surge, destructive winds, deadly tornadoes, torrential rains, widespread flooding on already saturated ground, and knocking out power for millions. Just 2 weeks after Category 4 Helene, one of the most destructive storms on record, slammed into the state. We'll have more on Milton's impact in the days ahead, but it is expected to cause billions of dollars in damage, potentially disrupting Florida's winter tourism economy and its fragile insurance market.
Potentially.
Milton set new records as one of the top five all-time most intense storms ever recorded in the Gulf and the Atlantic, fueled by record-hot ocean waters driven by humanity's burning of fossil fuels. It also set a record for rapid intensification in the Atlantic Ocean system, exploding from unnamed tropical depression to Category 5 in just 48 hours. Scientists warn these intense, destructive storms are not outliers, but harbingers of the future with global warming. The Federal Emergency Management Agency's budget is straining under these multiple disasters again this year, like every year. Congress recently approved an additional infusion to shore up FEMA's immediate disaster fund. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell on MSNBC said the agency does have enough to respond to Milton and Helene, but the agency will need more from Congress in coming months.
There is the money in my budget, the Disaster Relief Fund, to continue the response efforts for Hurricane Helene and Milton. But we're going to have to assess how much it's going to put a drain on that to determine how much of my recovery projects I can continue to do across the nation so I always have enough left to be able to respond to another storm because we're not out of hurricane season yet.
FEMA is also combating the campaign of disinformation and lies spread by Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and right-wing media, attacking the federal government's disaster response. Yet about 100 congressional Republicans voted down additional funding for FEMA, and new reporting reveals that Trump, as president, wanted to withhold FEMA disaster funding from blue states until aides showed him how many votes he received in impacted areas. But there is a spot of good news. 10 years after the Flint water crisis, the Biden Environmental Protection Agency issued a new landmark rule requiring removal and replacement of nearly all lead water pipes in the U.S. within 10 years to ensure clean water to schools and homes. The agency also set tighter limits on lead in drinking water, the first ever requirements to test for lead in schools to protect the nation's children, and more. The new rule replaces a weaker standard set by former President Trump's administration that did not require replacement of lead pipes. EPA also released an additional $2.6 billion in funding for pipe replacement from the infrastructure law. And it matters because in children, lead harms mental and physical development and causes irreversible brain damage. It also causes numerous ailments in adults. Here's President Biden in Milwaukee on Tuesday.
Folks, what's a government for if it cannot protect the public health? And in the process, we're creating jobs. We're building a better America.
The gargantuan effort is expected to cost billions of dollars, but EPA estimates that every $1 spent on removing lead pipes will return $13 in public health and economic benefits.
I'll take it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Now when it rains.
So there is some irony in that song.
Yes.
That's actually by Kid Rock. Nice song.
Mm-hmm. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, so do you realize that means that in this broadcast today, Desi Doyen, we have played both Kid Rock and Lee Greenwood.
Y'all are welcome.
Yeah, I think we owe an apology to our listeners. Sorry about that. But by the way, I came up with a good idea. Well, I'll get to that. Let me just thank you, Desi Doyen, our producer. Thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Hey, while you're there, it's free thanks to those of you who hit a donate button or go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves. But here's where I came up with a good idea, Desi Doyen.
Okay.
For anyone who wants to, who is willing to donate $1,000 today, I will buy a Donald Trump Lee Greenwood Bible and I will sign it and send it to you. If you donate $500, I will buy a regular Bible that is not with Donald Trump or Lee Greenwood and I'll sign that and send it to you as well. And, maybe Desi will sign it as well. Is it blasphemous to sign a Bible?
Well, listen, you know, Trump the other day was asking if he could sign a Jewish prayer book. So I don't know.
Anyway, there you go. Lee Greenwood Bible for you with Donald Trump and Brad Friedman signing it for $1,000. Or without the Trump Bible, it's only $500 at bradblog.com/donate. Just let me know you want a Bible. All right, that's it. You can drop me email. Also, I am bradcast@bradblog.com. You can do that for free. Or you can find me on the social medias at The Brad Blog. We will see you there at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. God bless the USA.
'Cause there ain't no